Hello, I'm Scott Prisco, and welcome to the Priscotti Pure Podcast. For those that don't know me, I'm a certified nutritionist, wellness expert, and the founder of Priscotti Pure. I created the Priscotti Pure Podcast to have informative and illuminating conversations with renowned health, medical, and wellness experts to help you acquire the insight you need to live a happy, healthy, grounded, balanced, and well-adjusted life. If you're interested in asking our medical experts a health question, you can get your question featured on our podcast by joining our exclusive community, the Priscotti Pure Inner Circle. To learn more about our group, visit our wellness site, PriscottiPure.com. On our site, you can also get enlightening articles, delicious recipes, and unique issue-targeted supplement blends that will help you attain your health and wellness goals. Before we get started, I want to propose a question. Why are you listening to this podcast? Are you a health and wellness enthusiast looking to hone your already vast body of knowledge? Are you new to the industry, looking to learn the basics and be pointed in the right direction? No matter where you are in your wellness journey, I know you're going to find value in the conversation I have with my guest today. Dr. Radrani Banik is a board-certified ophthalmologist and a fellowship-trained neuro-ophthalmologist with additional training in functional medicine. She runs a private practice called Envision Health NYC and is an associate professor at Mount Sinai in New York, where she serves as an educator, a researcher, and the principal investigator of several clinical trials. Dr. Banik is frequently featured as an expert in the media and has been interviewed on Good Morning America, The New York Times, The Washington Post, amongst many others. She has been voted Castle Connolly's top doctor and New York Magazine's best doctor in ophthalmology ever since 2017. Without further ado, Dr. Banik.
Hi, Scott. Thanks so much for having me on your show. I'm really excited to be here.
Thank you, doctor. I appreciate that. Really excited to have you. And, you know, based on some initial conversations we had, you're really knowledgeable. And I really think the viewers are going to learn a lot from this. And then we have a great show in store for them. So just to kick it off, why don't you give us a little background information about the brain, the eyes, how they're connected and how they're connected to the rest of the body and overall wellness?
Yeah, absolutely. So many people don't realize that connection, that there's an eye-brain connection. It's a very important connection. So the eye is actually a direct extension of the brain. So it is considered part of the central nervous system. And much of the brain is actually dedicated to our vision. So about 30% of our brain is devoted to our visual pathway. So how we see, the resolution of what we see, the colors we see, motion detection, coordination is all, interconnected, very closely interconnects the eye and the brain. And there are many neurologic conditions that actually show up in vision. For example, as a neuro-ophthalmologist, I see a lot of cases of patients with inflammatory conditions of the brain, like, for example, multiple sclerosis, where they have vision issues. Brain strokes can cause vision issues. Trauma, concussion can cause vision issues. And also, of course, brain tumors can cause vision issues as well. So there's a lot that's also reflected in the eyes in terms of general body wellness. So a lot of people don't realize that through an eye exam, we can probably detect over 200 different conditions that may be affecting other parts of the body. For example, the most common ones are high blood pressure that can show up in the eyes, diabetes, high cholesterol, heart issues, a lot of autoimmune issues ranging from lupus to rheumatoid arthritis, Sjögren's disease. I mean, so many health and neurologic conditions can show up in terms of eye issues.
Well, that's really interesting. So it really starts with the brain and then ends up in the eyes.
It definitely goes back and forth, but I would say the majority of what's going on in the brain it shows up in the eyes, because we actually don't see with our eyes, we see with our brain. And the eyes are basically like the conduit to our brain.
For sure. Okay. So yeah, I mean, what I understand, I've always understood it like this, where, there's a bunch of waves and energy fields around us. Your brain is basically computing that and then showing, your eye see based off what your brain is taking in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's that interconnection. And I love how you wove in the energy fields, because there's definitely that aspect of vision that a lot of people don't really think about. In terms of the quality of what we see and how we see and how we perceive things. So it is something important to take note of as well.
Going back to the 200 issues that can be seen in the eyes, what are you looking for when a patient comes in and they might have, they might not feel well, or they might think that something's off and you see it in their, what are you looking for when you look in their eyes and see, trying to find other issues like high blood?
Yeah, great question. So many eye conditions are for example, in the back of the eye, in the retina. So if someone has high blood pressure, we can see changes in the blood vessels in the retina in the back of the eye. Sometimes we can see bleeding in the back of the eye due to high blood pressure. Or if someone has high cholesterol, sometimes we can see little plaques, which are like little clots that kind of go into the eye, and we can see that in the back of the eye in the retina. Diabetes also affects the retina. Then there are some inflammatory conditions that affect the front part of the eye. For example, I was mentioning earlier rheumatoid arthritis that can affect the front of the eye, can cause dry eye amongst other types of inflammation. So again, the eye is really like a window to our overall health. It's really an incredible organ, even though it's so small. It's very complex and it's so intertwined with just about every other organ system, including gut health. A lot of people don't realize that there's also a gut-eye connection. So gut health is also important for eye health as well.
It would make sense for people to, like, a yearly or a bi-yearly checkup with an expert like yourself to really make sure everything in their body is straightened out and that they're really they're healthy all throughout. What do you recommend as far as this? Is when, how often should you see someone like yourself?
Yeah, so it is recommended that people above the age of 40 should have an annual eye checkup. And the reason is because many eye conditions initially may be completely asymptomatic, and the only way to really know that you may have a condition is to actually get an eye exam. Like, for example, glaucoma or cataracts or macular degeneration are some of the most common eye conditions that really start off with no symptoms whatsoever. And then for people who are younger than 40, So I would just say probably every 2 to 5 years is a good time to get an eye checkup. Even if you think, oh, my eyes are great, I see 20/20, I don't need glasses, it's still a good idea to get a baseline exam.
Most people just look at it like, you get an eye exam, do I need glasses or not? And it's so much more.
It's well beyond that, exactly. And just because you see 20/20 doesn't mean that you're in the clear, because again, there could be things brewing that you may not realize. So the key to eye health or having good vision throughout life is really prevention. And unfortunately, most people, you know, we, including myself sometimes, we take our vision for granted. We just assume that we're going to be able to see well. And it's not until something actually happens where we have issues with our eyes, whether it be blurry vision, dry eyes, trouble focusing, that we realize how important our vision really is. So we really need to, you know, not just keep it on the back burner, but really make it something proactive that we're working towards is to maintain good vision throughout our lives, because people are living longer and longer, and you want to have good eye health long into your later years in life. You still want to be able to read and drive and see family and friends. So start now. I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are. I always tell people, start early, teach your kids so they can have good habits throughout life to help promote their eye health.
And so what are some nutrients that are crucial for this? What should people make sure they have in their diet so that they are preventing these issues from happening and taking care of what they already have?
Yeah. So a lot of people think, oh, you know, if I just eat some carrots, won't my eyesight be good? Aren't carrots supposed to be good for eyesight? So what I'll say is that's partially true. Carrots provide beta carotene, which is a form of vitamin A, and we need vitamin A to prevent against night blindness and dry eye. But there are many other nutrients our eyes need. So the eyes are complex. They need lots of antioxidants. So you need to eat a wide variety of antioxidant-rich foods, many of which come from plants. So it's not that you have to be plant-based. You don't have to be vegan or vegetarian, but certainly a plant-rich diet helps to provide those antioxidants your eyes need. And we also need a whole range of vitamins. So we need like all the B vitamins. We need vitamin A, as I mentioned, vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin D. We also need lots of minerals. So we need magnesium. We need selenium, manganese. These are all super important. So I would say, you know, the best way, you know, it seems like a lot of different things our eyes need, and it's true, but the best way to get all of that is really to have a diverse plant-rich diet with lots of different colors that will provide you with all the nutrients your eyes need to stay healthy. And of course, we also need omegas. So we need omega-3s as well. I shouldn't forget that's super important when it comes to eye health.
Yeah, and those omegas are great for the brain as well, right? I mean, can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Absolutely. So it's really interesting. The highest concentration of omega-3s in the body is actually in the eye, in the retina. And you normally probably wouldn't think, oh, our retina, you know, our eye has fat. Well, it's a type of fatty acid that actually is the structural backbone of our retinal cells. And so if you don't have a good supply of omega-3s, because our bodies can't make omega-3s, your retinas just don't have the resilience that they need. And so it's really important for, again, structure, but also omegas are anti-inflammatory. And many of the eye conditions that can affect people later in life have an inflammatory basis to them. So again, have lots of omegas. And as you mentioned, omegas are important for brain health because, again, as a structural component, omega-3 is also very found in very high concentration in the brain.
What I usually do is buy a mix and put it in my morning smoothie so I can, get the blueberries for the antioxidants and, you know, the different berry mixes and omega-3s. I just do like a powdered mix. So that's
wonderful. Yeah, that's great. I actually recommend to my patients that, some people say, how can I get all these different colored fruits and vegetables in my diet? And I usually tell them, like, have a green smoothie every morning. And if you have it, you rotate through all the different fruits and vegetables in your smoothie. But if you have that, you're getting at least like 3 cups of fresh fruits and vegetables right there. So it's a simple way to do it. And then you can add in, powders, you can add in whatever other types of, for example, you can add in some hemp seeds, chia seeds, et cetera. It's all good.
Yeah, it's a great way to do it. I think that's one of the best. Then you don't have to worry about it for the rest of the day. You can kind of just go about your day and at least you have that bottom line that you met your nutritional value in that for the day. As a nutritionist, I see a lot of people when they're trying to lose weight, they deal with headaches, migraines, vision issues. What's the relationship between this? Is it that they're just malnutrition or is there something else that's going on and how can they combat this?
Yeah, it's a really complex issue, actually. We know that weight gain can be associated with lots of adverse eye issues. There's actually a particular condition, which many people may not have even heard of, called, it has a long name, it's called idiopathic intracranial hypertension, or IIH. And it what happens is that it tends to affect young women, usually in their 20s to 50s or so, and women who've gained weight or who are overweight or even obese. And what happens is they have high pressure in the brain. And that high pressure leads to headaches, it leads to blurred vision, it leads to swelling of the optic nerves, and even vision loss. And so it's definitely associated with weight gain. What the exact mechanism is, we still don't completely understand. But we know that weight loss is a treatment for IIH. And the people who do the best with it, who can get it to go into remission, are the people who can actually achieve weight loss and keep that weight off. And then in terms of migraines, weight and migraines, I'm not sure of a definite correlation, but what I can say is that it's best to try to avoid foods that are processed. When it comes to migraines, you want to eat more raw foods, fresh foods. You also want to avoid too much sugar or simple sugar. So you don't want to have foods that have a high glycemic index because then your blood sugar may spike up and then it may come back down and it may trigger a migraine, or even hunger can trigger a migraine. So there's a lot to talk about with that. I mean, we could probably talk for hours about brain health and weight and eye health, but those are some of the main points I just wanted to let your listeners know about.
Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Let's go back to the central nervous system and its connection to the brain and eyes. As COVID is upon us, and studies have shown that COVID is known to attack the central nervous system, and that's why people lose their taste and smell. Do you foresee this creating long-term issues for eye and brain health and their connection?
I've seen in the past year or so, some really unusual things come up in terms of eye health. In people who've either had COVID and recovered, people who didn't even know they had COVID, they have the antibodies, and people who now are getting vaccinated. So definitely there is a trigger that can cause inflammation of the brain and the eyes. So I have patients, young people, young healthy people who never had any issues before, come in with things like vision loss, optic nerve inflammation, headaches that they never had before, brain fog, memory issues, dizziness, vertigo. So there's so many, I would say, side effects of COVID, not just in the acute phase, but long-term as well. So I think we're just learning about what this virus can do to our central nervous system, what it can do to our brain health, what it can do to our eye health. And again, I've seen cases where people you would think would be have a lot of resilience, young, healthy people who I can actually think of one patient who is super healthy. She would go to the gym regularly, eat very healthy. She actually happened to be vegan, who developed COVID, didn't even know she had it, but then she developed bilateral vision loss. And it turned out she had the antibodies, and she has this really difficult optic nerve inflammation that this difficult meaning it's very hard to treat. She's just not responding. And I think this is a direct sequela of her COVID infection that she had in the past, which is so scary and so unfortunate. So I don't want to, you know, frighten people, but I just want to raise awareness that some of the conditions that we're seeing now in terms of brain health, eye health, we don't fully understand, but there is a connection with having been infected. And then perhaps being infected, then getting the vaccine afterwards as well. So there definitely is something going on.
That is scary for sure. And like you said, we don't really even know the full effects. It's going to be years down the road and until we fully understand what this has done and what it's doing to the body. So that disease that young woman had, that's something you wouldn't see in a healthy woman like her, right? That's not normal.
Very unusual. Yes, exactly. And especially someone who was really very much in tune with her health and was very proactive about her health. And now she keeps asking, you know, why me? You know, I was doing everything right. And, you know, unfortunately I don't have the answer for her, but it was something I think that had to have been triggered by the virus.
Yeah.
Really, there's no other explanation for it.
And you're seeing that with people who get the vaccine and don't even have COVID as well, that you think there might be some issues with that as well, just the vaccine?
So that's very interesting. In the patients who I've seen this in, they've had the vaccine and, you know, they didn't think they had COVID, but when we test them for COVID, it turned out that they actually had it in the past. Like they have antibodies. So I don't know if it's something going on with the immune system where, you know, perhaps they had an infection where they were asymptomatic, then they got vaccinated and that the vaccine triggered something. So I don't want to discourage people from getting the vaccine. Actually, I'm a huge advocate of getting the vaccine, but I would recommend, you know, maybe if you're not sure about it, get tested first so you know whether you have antibodies or not, and then make a decision about getting the vaccine.
Thank you for that, for touching on that a little bit. I think that's very valuable, especially in today's world, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of concern and rightfully so. I mean, this is all new. COVID is a new thing in our world, and the vaccines are new and there's a lot of hesitancy. And I think just being informed and going in with the knowledge that the vast majority of people who get vaccinated have no issues, but there are a handful that can have issues and just to be aware of that.
Yeah, and that mRNA technology is new. It's not been really used in much lately. So again, we'll see what will happen with that. It seems pretty promising, though.
Yes. I mean, I think that's the way we're going to beat this virus and get back to normalcy. So, you know, again, you really have to weigh for yourself the pluses and minuses and make an individual decision. And definitely talk to your doctor about it. If you have questions, get some professional opinions, maybe more than one opinion, and then make a decision about whether it's right for you or not.
I'm a big advocate of doing your own research, too. You really need to understand what you're getting yourself into and understand what's going on. For sure, people should definitely be conducting their own research. Mm-hmm. I wanted to switch gears completely on a topic you know, a lot of people are struggling with lately is the blue light with all these screens over the last 20, 25 years and people being in front of the computer now, their phones now more than ever. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's happening and, you know, what thing people can do to combat this?
Sure. So this is also a very popular question amongst my patients about blue light and its effect on our eyes. So I'll just give an overview first. So blue light is part of the visible spectrum of light. You know, if you think about the rainbow, blue is one of the colors in the rainbow, but it ends up being on the shorter end of that spectrum, meaning it's short wavelength, high energy light. And the majority of blue light comes from the sun, but we also get blue light from our devices, whether it's a phone, a tablet, a computer monitor, our TV, even our bulbs now that we use, like for example, many of us have switched to CFL bulbs, compact fluorescents or LEDs because they save energy, but they also emit blue light, unlike incandescent bulbs that we used to use that don't emit blue light. So all of this blue light, what is it doing to our eyes? What is it doing to our brain health? Well, what I'll tell you is that when blue light comes from the sun, that is healthy blue light, and it helps to regulate our sleep-wake cycle. So in the morning when the sun rises, it starts to emit blue light. It basically signals to our brains through our eyes that it's time to wake up. It's time to get going with your day. And then as the sun goes across the sky and then at night, you know, towards the evening, it starts to set, the amount of blue light coming from the sun starts to decrease. And that signals to our brains that, okay, nighttime is coming. It's time to get ready for bed, time to wind down and go to sleep. But what happens is when we're exposed to blue light from our our devices or in our homes from our lights all day long. And many of us are spending hours and hours and hours a day on a screen, both children and adults. That blue light interferes with our sleep-wake cycle. It can make it harder to fall asleep, to stay asleep, but it can also lead to a syndrome of an eye issue called digital eye strain. Some people like to call it computer vision syndrome, where, you know, if you stare at a screen hours at a time, your eyes start to feel fatigued. Other symptoms can include trouble focusing, dry eyes, headaches, light sensitivity, also sometimes even neck and shoulder pain. So this kind of all falls under the umbrella term of digital eye strain and computer vision syndrome. So it's thought that blue light contributes to that. So a lot of people are turning to strategies like blue blockers, for example, like blue blocking glasses to try to protect against blue light. What I'll tell you is that there is no, at least scientific published data, to show that blue blockers really help everyone. But certainly if you feel comfortable with them, you can absolutely get them. What I'll mention is that a couple of things. So not all blue blockers are made the same. And if you look at different blue blockers, some look clear, some have like a yellow tint, some have like an orange or amber tint, and some look red. And what I will say is that if you're looking to really block all of the blue light, let's say if you work late into the night, you're on your computer all you know, into the evening, into the night, and you're having trouble falling asleep, you're having digital eye strain, get a blue blocker that's darker in color, because that will block out most of the blue light. And the way you can tell is basically if you put on your blue blockers and you look at your screen and you're looking at something blue on your screen, if you can still see the color blue, that means that that blue blocker is not fully blocking out all the blue light. Versus if you wear a blue blocker that's darker in color, like amber or orange or red, you really shouldn't be able to see much blue on your screen at all. So you know that it's blocking out most of that blue light. And then there's a nutritional component as well. So a lot of people don't realize that we actually have blue blockers that nature put in the back of our eyes. We have pigments in the back of our eyes that help to block blue light, absorb the blue light, neutralize it. They also help to block UV light. So it's almost like having built-in sunglasses and blue blockers inside of our eyes. And these pigments come from plants. They're called macular carotenoids. And I don't know if many people have heard of them, but as an integrative ophthalmologist, I really try to educate people as much as possible about the importance of nutrition when it comes to eye health. The pigments are called lutein, zeaxanthin, and mesozeaxanthin. And again, our bodies can't make them, so you need to get them from foods or even from supplements. And you can get them from leafy greens, like, for example, spinach, kale, collard greens. You can also get them from egg yolk. That beautiful orange color of the egg yolk is actually from these pigments. And you can also get them from corn. So lots of different ways to help block blue light and prevent that digital eye strain. And I apologize for that long answer, but I really just wanted to kind of give people an overview and give them some direction on what to do about blue light and protecting their eyes.
Yeah, well, thank you. Again, it's all going back to that morning smoothie.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure this amount of blue light we're seeing is more than natural. So it's more than we've ever, you know, the eyes have ever thought. And maybe that will change with evolution to be more accustomed to this. But how long should people go without being on blue light before they go to bed so they can improve the quality of their sleep?
Yeah, it's recommended about 2 hours before bedtime. Try to limit your blue light exposure. So you can wear your blue blockers. You can put your screen on night, your phone on night mode, night shift mode. But also, I like there's some great apps out there that actually you can download to your computer, your device that can actually internally block or take out the blue light. So it filters out the blue light. And these apps are pretty smart because they know you put in your location and they know what time the sun is rising and what time the sun is setting. So it will automatically adjust the amount of blue light coming from your screen based on the time of day and your geographic location, which is pretty incredible to think that that technology can do that. But so that's a great way to do it. And I can send you some of the links to the apps that I like if you wanted to share it with your listeners. Yeah. But they're very, very helpful. Those blue they're called screen filter apps, actually.
Can you mention a few right here? I mean, which ones do you like?
Sure. So there are two that are most popular. One is called Flux, F.LUX, and the other one is called Iris, IRIS. I actually prefer the Iris one because it has a lot of versatility. It has about 27 different settings you can try. And basically, you can try out the different settings, see what your eyes feel most comfortable with. For example, there's a healthy setting, there's a sleep setting, there's a movie setting. I mean, there's just so many settings on Iris. And it's great for kids too, because I know kids are spending more time than ever on screen. Some of them, you know, some kids are still doing homeschooling. So it's great to put that app, that screen filter app on your child's computer, as that will definitely help them.
And not just eye fatigue. What are you seeing? What are the long-term effects of this blue light exposure and increased exposure?
Wow. So this is a really complex question. What I want to say is that so far there is no evidence that this extra blue light exposure that we're getting, that it's going to cause permanent damage, because a lot of people are scared, you know, if they use their computer, are they at risk for going blind, you know, years to decades down the road. And there is no evidence to suggest that it causes long-term issues like cataracts or macular degeneration. Theoretically, yes, there is a risk, but honestly, if that were true, if it really caused blindness, we would be seeing an epidemic of blindness right now based on how much screen time we all have. And we're not seeing that. As eye doctors, we are not seeing that. So rest assured, it's not going to cause long-term damage, but certainly the short-term issues that we talked about, the eye fatigue, eye strain, dry eyes, et cetera. Sometimes it can also trigger migraines. So, you know, we're talking earlier about migraines. So that's something else to be aware of, is that a lot of screen time, blue light exposure can trigger migraines as well. And that Iris app is actually great for migraines. It actually ticks out the flicker rate that comes from our screens. A lot of people don't realize that our screens are constantly, the light from our screens is constantly going on, off, on, off, on, off. And it's designed that way to save the battery of our screens and battery of our device. But that can trigger migraines and trigger light sensitivity. So that Iris app actually eliminates that flicker rate, which is great. It's very comforting for the eyes if you're suffering from light sensitivity.
Do they have an iOS app? Because I feel that I really deal with this a lot. And it feels to me when I start getting this, it feels like mental fatigue as well.
It does. Yes. It causes mental fatigue. It's just hard to focus and think because, you know, it's very uncomfortable. It's just an uncomfortable feeling. And I do think, I think that Iris is suited for both iOS as well as Android and PC formats. I'm not sure about Flux. You can go to their website and check it and see if you can download it to iOS. I'm not sure about that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm going to have to try it out and I'll report back to you on what I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let me know how it goes.
It's so different than regular fatigue, because you can be like wide awake, but still feel just drained mentally and physically in your mind and in your eyes. It's really weird. It's a weird feeling.
Yeah, I know. I've definitely experienced it. And the other really quick tip you can, you know, to combat that, another really quick tip is to use the 20/20 rule. And, you know, when we think of 20/20, most people think, oh, perfect vision. But the 20/20 rule is basically every 20 minutes, set your timer. Every 20 minutes, take a 20-second break and just close your eyes. Don't look at the screen. Don't look at anything. And when you close your eyes, you're just eliminating any stimulus from getting to your eyes, any light stimulus, but you're also lubricating your eyes just by simply closing them. So it's a great way to increase your endurance on the computer and to help fight that eye strain.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you're listening, definitely try that out and see if that works for you. To sum things up, what's one actionable lifestyle choice or tip the viewers can take to start incorporating into their daily lives to promote sustainable vision, prevent issues, brain, eye strokes, lupus, cataracts, and all these other things that can happen?
Well, if I had to choose one thing people can do, I would say it goes back to nutrition. I would say eat a rainbow of colors in your diet and spread that out during the week. So most of us eat 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. That's 21 meals in a week. Have a different color of the rainbow with each meal. And that way you're getting your entire range of greens, yellows, reds, oranges, blues, purples, and even blacks, because each of those colors will provide you with all the nutrients you need to keep your eyes and brain healthy.
I like that. I like that a lot. It really goes back to just diet. It affects so much.
Yeah, it goes back to diet. Exactly. You know, there's a saying, food is medicine. And I'm a strong believer in that, is that if you eat the right types of foods to keep your body healthy, your eyes healthy, you can really ward off a lot of eye conditions down the road. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well said. I like that. And what's the best way for viewers to learn more about you and what you do and even connect with you? Do you offer telemedicine appointments too? I know there's some things that you probably need to see them in the office for. I know you're based out of New York, but what do you offer telemed wise?
So I do offer telemedicine, and you're right, it is a little bit tricky to do an eye exam through the virtual visit. But to be eligible for telemedicine, because I'm licensed in New York and only New York, the patient has to be in New York. So I do have patients who travel to come see me. It's not a bad place to be to spend, a couple of days in New York or a week in New York. But otherwise, you can reach out to me through my website, www.rudranibanikmd.com. And if you have a question, you can ask it. But honestly, without being your doctor, I really can't answer very specifically, because we need to have a doctor-patient relationship. But I'm also on social media, and I provide a lot of tips on social media. So if any of your listeners are on Instagram, please follow me on Instagram. I'm at dr.ronibanik. I'm also on Facebook. So I share a lot of great tips on migraine, eye health, etc.
Awesome. Well, yeah, definitely go give her a follow. I'm going to give you a follow after this this episode. So
thank you.
Check you out. I can't wait to learn more. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate this. I really think that you gave a good wide range of information, and I think that it's some actionable things that people can start taking to increase their longevity of their eyes and brain.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I so enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, have a great rest of your day.
You as well.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I want to thank you for listening to the Prescotti Pure podcast. For more information, head on over to PrescottiPure.com. You can subscribe to our email list so you never miss another episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Prescotti Pure to stay updated on the latest wellness news and trends. I hope you enjoyed our conversation today, and we'll see you next time.